have, now we'll start moving into the different pieces of the ordinance itself. Any questions at the moment? Eileen, can you go over to the microphone?
Judicial and Code of Ethics. And I'm very curious as to what the uses of that is, you know, of 30 kilowatts. Why would
megawatts.
Why would somebody build a 30 megawatt plant? It had originally been 80. I don't know whether we're bringing in any energy markets experts to understand why a 30 megawatt plant would be built, but I wonder if you could address that.
Is there still a proposal on the table for that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, I think keep in mind, Eileen, that this ordinance is about power generation broadly. It's not tapered to any particular proposal. It's not about, you know, obviously it came about because of one proposal. It's attempting to provide regulations that, regardless of who the applicant was, whether, you know, the same applicant came back, whether a company like Neola came forward, whether some company we've never heard of came forward, whether O'Hara Corporation wanted generation on their own site, it's just to provide rules that cover the range of power generation technologies that are out there. Are there other questions on the technology before? Catherine.
Catherine Coghill. Dan, when you're talking about combined generation in different places, would you tell us what they're using for sources? You know, whether it's...
fuel source?
Fuel source, yes, yeah. For all these different ones. When in the future talks, if you're mentioning any of them, would you just say what kind of power? Is it natural gas, solar, whatever? What's a combination?
Any other questions before we start talking about water utilization? David.
Yeah. Just in that he's still open on the distributed power.
Go to the microphone, David.
It's still open in the ordinance about size, whether 500 or 1,000 kilowatts.
Correct.
So what's going to, whose decision is that, and who will, when will it be made?
I mean, the planning board would make a decision next Tuesday as to what they want to recommend. And it may be, you know, and it may be they don't recommend specific. Certainly, I've seen boards in other places say to the council, you need to make a choice between A and B, or they make a recommended recommendation. But that will be next Tuesday.
Can I just speak here to, there was the question of why Dan was talking about these different types of energy sources. When we were talking about the ordinance, it was really helpful to hear from the engineers what the various types of energy sources that could appear, not just what you had for the proposal, but all these different, what Dan was just talking about, those could appear in the community, and the ordinance needed to address it. So the conversation was much broader, and I think it's important up front. I mean, I'm glad that you spoke to those, because when we started, we weren't always clear that we needed to know the specifics. And it really did help when you're talking about noise. It helps understanding the footprint. It helps the impact if you're going to be up against a residential neighborhood. So this conversation is much broader.
And I guess I'd just like to say one thing in response to Eileen's question, without regard to any specific proposal, because it's sort of awkward because I have to face this way, but go like this. In general, the power plants or the power generation facilities we're discussing can be either for self-generation or for selling power, right, or some combination of the two. And I just wanted to note that distinction or that distribution is among the things that's covered in the ordinance. So those, I suppose, are the two reasons, and we do try to address both of those. Are we both in?
Kevin, you want to? I think Ron was next.
Oh, but. Okay, thanks. I'll be brief. Ron Huber, friends of Penobscot Bay. One thing I was wondering about is that over the evolution of this process here, the conservation groups that have made a study of big energy and utilities and both gas and others are sort of conspicuously absent from this. I know that Conservation Law Foundation. I read an article recently of theirs with a lot of misgivings about various types of gas technology, you know, within systems, not just broad brush sort of things. And I know that they would really have been very helpful to this discussion. And I wondered, why were they left out of the choice of consultants, or somebody decides, you don't want to call it the fox building the chicken house, but it's sort of like that.
Yeah, they weren't consciously left out, Ron. There was two different sets of recommendations made, one on technical expertise and one on sort of more legal policy expertise. And the decision was to move forward on the technical piece and have the city attorney handle the sort of more legal aspects. There's no, you know, certainly still up to the planning board or up to council whether to have another party review it before adoption. But we
still, it's
still open question. I mean, I think it was a question of how to move the process forward, and the decision was made. I can't remember early on that we thought the most productive way to move the process forward was to have technical experts at the table and have the city attorney sort of handle the drafting pieces. There's no decision been made as to whether, you know, another party review it before final action. Remember, whatever happens, you know, next Tuesday at the planning board, and we're talking about this later on, you know, this is an ordinance amendment, so it would go to council. If council passes in first reading, it would then go back to second reading. So there's still a fair bit of time. If there are issues that are unresolved, if you want somebody else to look at it, that can still take place.
Don't neglect all that NGO expertise.
I think I understand why we, from what you two said, that you are looking at all the possibilities of innovations in power generation, and that's why you were showing us this stuff tonight. And I appreciate your elucidation of that, because that's not what I thought was going to happen here tonight, but I understand it, and I think I'm embracing it. The only thing I want to point out is there is an elephant in the living room regarding the people of Rockland because of what we went through with Evan Coleman's visit and all of that. So there's a certain amount of hypervigilance and fear about what's going to happen to us next. And that's why, I'm not going to go on and on, but that's why we thought, most of us thought, or a lot of, I can't speak for most, a lot of the people that I know here tonight thought we were going to come and talk about the ordinance. So thank you for the extra information.
Yeah, I think that the reason we started here was we wanted folks to understand that, yes, there was a particular proposal that drove this, but the ordinance is an attempt to address a wide range of, you know, projects, so that whoever might come back, or even if no one comes back, you know, if we're not creating black holes or vacancies in the statute.
But we all know that someone's coming to buy, you know, land. We put a moratorium up, and someone's got land in the industrial park. So we're all sort of thinking, well, what's going to happen? So that's all. Okay, thanks.